Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Joy Powers. We speak with contributor and car writer Mark Savage every month about trends in the automotive industry, from the minutia like the options available on cars to the bigger picture and issues like fuel economy. But Mark Savage also writes about much smaller cars, model cars, in fact.
He is the author of Kalmbach's Scale Auto Magazine, a bi-monthly magazine devoted to replicas of cars from model kits to die-cast cars that hobbyists customize. Some 20,000 people subscribe to the magazine, which is just turning 40 years old. Our other auto contributor, Dan Harmon, talks this month with Mark about the state of the model automotive industry and the focus of the magazine.
It really is about improving your building skills and, you know, enjoying other people's work, because we do a lot of galleries and there are people around the country. We go to a variety of shows and have representatives of ours at a variety of shows from coast to coast, and, you know, see what other people are doing, inspire yourself, and learn how to make a better looking car model that looks more realistic.
So I'm old enough, I know it shocks some people, to have been part of the generation that built models from plastic models. You used to go to the hobby store. You could pick up an airplane, which is kind of the things that I built. So it just doesn't seem like it's as big of a thing anymore. Is this related to that? I mean, I know this is about cars.
Right. I mean, there are a lot of plastic models still out there. I would say there are not as many hobby shops as there were when probably you and I were kids and others over 40. And it was certainly probably hit its peak in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. But there's a lot of stuff still out there. There's thousands of people who do this. There are shows all over the country where hundreds of people get together and show off their work. And it's, you know, I'd say the majority of people who do this are probably 45 to 65. And mainly because a lot of folks, they get to retirement age or the kids are out of the house and they have some more free time. And it's a good creative activity. It's something that where you can customize, make a car look like you want it to look, as opposed to maybe looking at it exactly realistic or exactly the way you'd see it on the street. But there are people who that's their whole goal. It must look like it just came out of the showroom. But it's still popular. It's just not as popular as Nintendo or something like that or all of the video games. But, you know, what we see is a lot of younger couples are trying to get their kids involved in some sort of hands-on activity and something other than just operating your thumbs all the time. So I think things like this where people build something or make something of their own, I think it will be making a comeback as time goes by. Plus, you know, the kids work with Legos and play with Legos all the time. There are snap kits that you can put together that instead of it looking like a squarish, funny-looking little Lego toy, which is fun, you can make it, snap it together, and it looks just like a real car. So, you know, what's wrong with that? That'd be more fun to me.
And speaking of it looking like a real car, I was looking at your website, and I remember on the front page was a Lincoln, and I actually thought that was a real car. I thought that someone had a classic Lincoln, and you were going to review it, but on further inspection, it was a picture of a model, so it really did look very realistic.
Well, right. I think that one in particular was a die-cast, and that's something else that we've been getting into more recently in the magazine. The magazine started out covering plastic models and die-cast, and then it kind of got away from the die-cast. But that is so popular these days, and there's so many people collecting it that we've started to move back that way. And I think people are interested in filling the slots in their collection. You know, I might be a guy that collects only Lincolns and makes only Lincolns, and that's great. But, hey, I can't get a 1970 Mark III or something, and that's what I really want. So now you can go buy one that's beautifully detailed, or I can get a plastic kit and make it myself and detail it exactly the way I want it.
What is the difference between the two, between plastic models, which I'm sure most of us are familiar with, and then die-cast?
Well, die-cast is, you know, I guess what people probably think of is Hot Wheels and Matchbox toys and stuff like that, and those are the little versions. But the I'd say 1/43rd and 1/24th and 1/18th scale is what people are probably collecting more of these days, and they're like a foot long for the 1/18th scale. And so these are kits that you can certainly buy some metal models and make those, but these are pre-made and pre-decorated, if you want to call it that. We'll have all their decals, so all the you know, logos and so forth that might be on a car are already on there. And they're extremely well detailed these days. And anything can go from probably $100 to $500, depending on how much you want to spend. Whereas a plastic model, you can get somewhere between $5 and $50 on a normal model, and probably 20, 25 is a real good average.
So a die cast is a kit as well?
No, it's not really a kit. There are some that are out there that you can build that do have die cast bodies, but the die cast cars are pre-made, pre-decorated, so to speak, and you know, something that you collect and display. A lot of people put them into a plastic, you know, an acrylic case and keep them dust-free and all that good stuff.
Okay, so you mentioned that it's a good thing for kids to get involved, or parents are trying to get their kids involved, which is how I think you and I remember it being something that mostly children did, or, you know, younger people. Has that changed? It seems like a lot of what you do is for collectors or older people who are either looking back or for whatever reason want to have a model of a car.
Right. I'd say the people who are building their own are probably more in that 45 to 65 range, because they are guys like us that maybe remember doing it as a kid, or, as I said, they have more free time. They can get back to it and have time to you know, put 3 to 4 hours a week maybe into something like that. And then after a month, you've got a really nice looking kit that you can put onto your desktop. Or if you have a display case, some of us do, that's nice to have because you keep the dust off of them. But and then, like I say, I think what we're seeing is that some more kids are going to get involved in this as families try to encourage the kids to make things instead of just play with the electronics.
Has anything changed as far as the construction or the way the kits are put together, and maybe the glue? I remember getting somewhat high on the glue fume. I don't know if there's anything different now about how these go together.
I don't think you're allowed to talk about getting high on a radio, are you? I mean, well, there's still glue to put them together. There's liquid glue that you can use with a brush that's a lot easier, that you can just, it's easier to get it on the model and not have that big glob that I can know, as we all had as kids. You'd put it together, squeeze the parts together, and a big glob of glue would come out, and somehow it'd get on your finger, then it got on the model. The liquid glue is a lot easier, but there's super glue and regular testers' model glue and other people's model glue, Tamiya. So you can still glue them all together, and that is primarily the way they are. But again, there's snap kits that are aimed at the younger folks, probably under 10, that they can just snap the kits together, put them together, and then play with them, because it becomes more of a toy at that point. But you certainly can paint them and fix them up any way you want.
And how do the manufacturers decide what they're going to produce? Is it a popularity contest, or is it a nostalgia thing, or both?
It is a little both. There are a lot of kits that get repurposed. Revell and Round 2 are constantly bringing out kits that maybe were popular back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and then just repurposing that, rebooting it, maybe put some new decals in, maybe replace some of the parts. And then there are newer kits. I know Tamiya just came out with a new Formula One Ferrari that was a Ferrari from last year's racing season. That's very modern and new. And I know Revell is about to come out with a new Ford GT, that like the car that raced at Le Mans and at Daytona. So it's popularity. It's what do you think would be hot. I think when we were kids, you know, I had a model of a 64 Plymouth Valiant because we had a 63 Plymouth Valiant. And you thought, well, that's as close as I can get as a model, and I'll make that. You don't see so many kits of like Toyota Camrys and Honda Accords, because really a lot of those do look pretty much alike. So what's popular is still muscle cars and the Camaros and Corvettes and Mustangs and the exotic cars, the Lamborghinis, things like that.
I would imagine that there's some nostalgia of nostalgia, which would be like a Mini or a Volkswagen Beetle, those kinds of cars, yeah?
Right, the Beetle's still out there. I know there's a Revell snap kit of a Beetle and the Microbus. And yes, some of the nostalgia things, you know, a 32 Ford is still popular because you can turn it into a hot rod. You can turn some of these things into gassers and drag racers and so forth. So there is a lot of nostalgia in this. And I think, you know, anything you might see at a car show, a real, you know, custom car show or an antique car show, you can certainly get that or build that in a plastic model. It just will cost you a little less than if you've been out and got the real thing, and it doesn't take up as much garage space either.
And what are your favorites? Do you prefer diecast, or maybe I can't really ask the editor or publisher of the magazine what your favorites are, but do you prefer to make the models, or do you prefer to buy them, and what kind of cars do you like?
Well, I have done both, but over the years I've got a lot more diecast because people give it to me, and I've been writing about that for a number of years too. But certainly make some of the models. My most recent was an Indy car because I'm an Indy car guy. I grew up in Indy, love racing. So I like the open wheel cars the best. But hey, you know, in a magazine, we've got to appeal to a broad range of people. So we try and do a little of everything and mix it up so that the one issue doesn't look quite like the other one, something different in each one.
And are you going to have what's different now with the magazine than when it started? I'm sure that some things have changed a lot and some things have probably not changed at all.
Well, right. We've been working on putting together a 35-year DVD so people can have all the back copies. And it's interesting to look back. Of course, obviously, everything was in black and white initially. Now everything's in color in the magazine, which, you know, most magazines are like that. And there was a lot more trucks back in the day, a lot more semis and wreckers and things like that. And while there's still people that do that, I would say that's, you know, down to that 10 or 15% level of people doing the bigger trucks. So it's really more muscle cars, modern cars, racing cars. And we're trying to reflect that in the magazine. We're trying to broaden it out and have a little of everything in there. And again, we go around to all the shows around the country, and you do see a little of everything. Some things are just make-believe cars. People make what they think would look cool, and they piece things together. They scratch-build kits where they may use a body or a chassis out of one plastic kit and then, you know, decide, hey, I'm going to use my own styrene and form it the way I want and build my car the way I want, or a fantasy car of some sort. Almost a concept car of the mind, I guess, here that people come up with instead of something that the auto manufacturers have done.
Do auto manufacturers actually do models, small models, before they actually put cars into production?
I don't think that anybody's doing it in the scale that we'd be interested in for the magazine. It's, you know, more of the clay models that they've sculpted for the real cars. But, of course, they license their products to the plastic model manufacturers, to me and Ravel being two of the bigger ones there in this country that sell a lot in this country. So they have to license. If they're going to do this new Ford GT, I'm sure they had to pay a little bit to be able to get the blueprints and make it look authentic to what it really is.
And just a kind of a weird question, I guess, but how does this fit into the whole world of miniaturization? I mean, it's really not that strange, really. I mean, when you consider dollhouses, or if you go to, I don't know, the fairy castle at the Museum of Science and Industry, which is a really fascinating exhibit. Does this have a kind of a fit, I mean, with that whole kind of world of making things little?
I think a lot of people like to make miniature products of whatever it is, whatever you find interesting. I mean, obviously at Kalmbach we've got a model railroader, so people have been doing railroads in various scales for years and the scenery that goes with them. It's kind of creating your own special world in miniature because it's smaller and it's easier to deal with, and you can, you know, fill a room or a house with it and have some fun along the way. It's all about creativity and doing what you know, feel moved to do. Some people paint paintings. Some people make miniatures of whether it's dollhouses or railroads or plastic cars, or with our other magazine, Fine Scale Modeler, it's a lot of military vehicles, whether it's aircraft or armor or trucks and tanks, whatever.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things leaping to mind, like miniature trees and miniature Zen gardens. There's no shortage.
Hey, you know, miniature fits everywhere.
Right on. Well, congratulations, Mark, and thank you for coming back on.
Yeah, thanks.
Mark Savage writes the auto review column Savage on Wheels for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and SavageOnWheels.com. He is also editor of the now 40-year-old Scale Auto magazine, part of Kalmbach Publishing in Waukesha. He joins contributor Dan Harmon regularly to talk about cars.